श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 ध्रुव महाराज रिटर्न होम टेक्स्ट 67 ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद आफ्टर कंसीडरिंग हिज एडवांस्ड एज एंड डेलिबरेटिंग ऑन द वेलफेयर ऑफ हिज स्पिरिचुअल सेल्फ किंग उत्तानपा डिटैच्ड हिमसेल्फ फ्रॉम वर्ल्डली अफेयर्स एंड एंटर्ड द फॉरेस्ट. Please repeat after me. After considering his advanced age and deliberating on the welfare of his spiritual self, King Uttanapa detached himself from worldly affairs and entered the forest. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a sign of a Rajarshi. King Uttanapada was very opulent and was emperor of the world, and this attachment was certainly very great. Modern politicians are not as great as kings like Maharaj Uttanapada, but because they get some political power for some days, they become so much attached to their position that they never retire unless they're removed from their post by cruel death or killed by some opposing political party. It is within our experience that the politicians in India do not quit their positions until death. This was not the practice in the olden days, as it is evident from the behavior of King Uttanapada. Immediately after installing his worthy son, Dhruva Maharaj, on the throne, he left his home and palace. There are hundreds and thousands of instances like this in which kings in their mature age would give up their kingdoms and go to the forest to practice austerity. Practice of austerity is the main business of human life. As Maharaj Dhruva practiced austerity in his early age, similarly his father, Maharaj Uttanapada, in his old age also practiced austerity in the forest. It is, however, not possible in modern days to give up one's home and go to the forest to practice austerity. But if people of all ages would take shelter of Krishna consciousness movement and practice the simple austerities of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, and chant the Hare Krishna mantra regularly 16 rounds, by this practical method, it would be a very easy task to get salvation from the material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fourth canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. This is how in the Vedic society people used to maintain a life of detachment. Actually, this material nature is transient. In this material nature, our stay, our existence is temporary, and the material nature itself is temporary. Therefore, to maintain attachment to this material nature is actually a mistake. Therefore, an intelligent person, recognizing the real nature of this material nature, will practice detachment from the very beginning of his life. Because when we know that we have to leave this place sooner or later, why develop attachment? Because if we remain attached to this material nature, and someday if we have to leave this material nature, then we'll feel bad due to our attachment to this material nature. Therefore, an intelligent human being should practice detachment from the very beginning. knowing well that sooner or later he will have to leave this place. So instead of getting attached, he prepares himself to leave this place. Whenever the time comes for him to leave, immediately he is ready for departing from this place. And one does that, one who is situated in knowledge can very easily detach himself from this material nature, because he knows that there is another reality, the real reality, which is eternal, which is permanent. Unlike this material nature, that nature is eternal. And once we go there, we enjoy an existence, an eternal existence, free from the calamities of birth and death. And that nature is full of knowledge and full of joy. So whatever we are actually looking for, whatever we are actually hankering for, is available in that nature. The things that we are craving for in this nature, the things that we are searching for in this nature, are automatically available in the other nature, the spiritual nature. So when a person becomes situated in that knowledge, that beyond this material reality, beyond this transient material nature, there is a transcendental reality. And that reality is real reality. Material nature also is real. Only the Mayavadis say that material nature is false, mithya. The devotees, Vaishnavas, never say that this material nature is mithya. But they accept this material nature is real as a transient reality, as a temporary reality. Since this material nature is a creation of the Lord, this material nature also is real. Because whatever comes out of the Lord is Purnam. Ishavashram idam sarvam, Om Purnamadah Purnam idam, Purnat Purnam udachate, Purnasya Purnam adaya, Purnam evavashishyam. Om Purnamadah Purnam idam, Purnat Purnam udachate. That supreme, complete, is absolutely complete, and whatever comes out of him is also complete, purna. Therefore, this material nature, that is a creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also purna. But it is purna, it is complete as a reflection. It is not real as a real reality, but it is real as a reflected reality. That is the understanding of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Not only the understanding of the Vaishnava Acharyas, that is the real understanding of the material nature. Now if we see a reflection of a tree on a pool of water, that reflection may not be the real tree, but as a reflection, it is real. Similarly, this material nature is real as a reflection of the spiritual reality. So, the reflection is not eternal. As long as the water is there, the reflection is there. In monsoon, when it rains and water collects on the land, then we can see the reflection. But as soon as with the appearance of autumn, as the water dries out, then we cannot see the reflection of the tree. But the tree exists. Tree keeps on existing irrespective of the pool of water. When the pool of water appears there, when the water collects there, then we see the reflection, and when water disappears, when water evaporates, then the reflection disappears. And that is how this material nature comes into being and the material nature disappears. When, due to the glance of the Lord, the Mahatattva, or on the Mahatattva, this material nature becomes manifest as a reflection of the spiritual reality. But as soon as the Lord withdraws his glance, then this material nature disappears. So that is the total annihilation, but there are partial annihilations. We also experience this material nature as we come to this material nature through our birth. And then as in death, we get out of this material nature, or our consciousness becomes withdrawn from this material nature, or we fall into a kind of a sleep called Sushupti, then this material nature again disappears from us. So this is a partial annihilation. So through partial annihilation and total annihilation, this material nature appears to us and disappears from us. We become attached to that. Therefore, an intelligent man has been instructed in the Vedas that he should get out of this material nature by practicing his attachment to the spiritual reality. One must cultivate this practice of becoming detached from this material nature. And in the Vedic society, that principle of detachment was taught to everyone, right from the very beginning of their lives actually. And here we can see, even the kings, those who are most susceptible to becoming attached, because they have a lot of opulence, they have access to various kinds of enjoyments in the material nature, they are very famous. So these are the factors that causes the attachment in the material nature. Good health, wealth, fame, good family life. So these are the causes of attachment. And a king naturally has that. A kshatriya enjoys a very powerful body. He has a lot of wealth. He has access to various kinds of enjoyments in the material nature. He has obedient and faithful chaste wives. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram. He has many nice children and many obedient followers. So naturally, for a king who is actually sitting right on top of this material nature, to enjoy this material nature, it's very, very difficult to give up the attachment of material nature. But in the Vedic society, we can see that the king, after certain age, after coronating his son as his successor to the throne, would leave the palace and go to the forest. And King Uttanapad is actually one of the first kings on this earth planet. I don't know why one of the first kings. Actually, he is the first king of the earth planet. He was the ruler of the entire earth planet. Such a powerful personality. But here we are seeing, right after the coronation of Dhruva Maharaj to the throne, he left for the forest. Now, if a king can become so detached, we can well imagine how the other people cultivated their detachment. If the kings are so detached, we can well imagine how detached the brahmanas were. And according to the instructions of brahmanas and according to the examples, due to the example of the Kshatriyas. The other members of the society also used to follow their footsteps. And how could one become so detached from this material, all these kinds of material attachments? By being situated properly in knowledge. And what was the knowledge? The knowledge was the absolute reality, the spiritual sky and the Supreme Personality of God. They used to know that it was just a temporary phase of their existence, that they have come to this material nature, got this human life, and now this human life is a wonderful benediction to cultivate the science of detachment, Vairagya Vidya, by practicing devotional service. And thus, they could very easily get out of this material nature, and back they used to go back to the spiritual sky. Like for example, if you have a very opulent setup, you say you are living in a palace, and in the palace you have everything, all kinds of comfort, everything that you want is there. Now on some business, if you are sent to, say, to some other place, say you are sent to Calcutta, and in Calcutta you are staying in a hotel. Now if you know that in Bangalore you have a palace to live in, will you ever become attached to the hotel you are staying in Calcutta? Never. So similarly, when you become situated in our real identity, and when we become aware of the fact that we actually came from the spiritual sky, and in the spiritual sky we are provided with everything that we need, and the spiritual sky is so opulent that we cannot even imagine in relation to this material nature, it's absolutely inconceivable, then will we ever become attached to this material nature? Now actually staying in a hotel was kind of a mild example. Now let us give a rather more accurate example. That is, you are a son of a king. You are a son of a very rich person. And by chance, due to some mistake that you made, you are put into a prison. And in the prison, you are suffering so much. Naturally, one goes to the prison to be punished for his crime. So if we realize the fact that we are actually in a prison house, where we are constantly going through different kinds of tortures and tormentations, but actually we belong to a palace. We belong to a place which is so wonderful and so full of enjoyment. Then will we waste our time to prolong our stay in the prison? Is there anyone who is such a fool to prolong his stay in a prison house? No. But one cannot get out of the prison by his own will. One cannot just say, okay, now I want to get out of the prison. No. The criminal is put into the prison for his crime. And to get out of the prison depends entirely upon the king. It's only when the king says, okay, let the prisoner come out, can the prisoner come out of the prison. So now that we are prisoners, when we can get out is not up to us. But how we can get out, that we have realized. And if we practice the process of getting out of this material, of this prison house, then sooner or later we can get out. And as long as we are in the prison house, we are treated in a very special way. If we accept our crime, if we accept the authority of the king, and if we agree to abide by the laws of the king, that although we may not be released out of the prison house immediately, but the prison authorities start to treat us in a very special way. They begin to see, they see that this criminal is actually rectifying himself. And as we display that tendency or eager willingness to rectify ourselves, the prison authorities provide us with all kinds of facilities to free ourselves from the mistakes that we made. And then ultimately when we become completely free from the mistake, ultimately when we completely rectify our criminal consciousness, perverted consciousness, then the prison authorities allow us to go out by the order of the king. And the king says, okay, now you let him out. So in this way, we are put into a prison, put in a prison house, and an intelligent man, knowing that fact, will never ever want to prolong his stay, will never make arrangements to prolong his stay in this prison house. But as long as he is in the prison house, he will take advantage of rectifying himself and helping others also to rectify their contaminated consciousness. And that's why we preach. The purpose of our preaching is to help others also to realize the fact that this material nature is actually a prison house, and our business is to get out of this material nature as soon as possible by accepting Krishna consciousness. Because beyond this miserable material existence, we have a spiritual existence in the spiritual sky. And that existence is eternal and full of knowledge and full of bliss. So who would not want to go back to the nature of eternal knowledge and bliss? And when one develops that understanding, then it doesn't matter whatever position he may be in this material nature, remains completely detached. He may be a king or he may be a beggar. He remains detached. As a matter of fact, when he gets a lot of facilities, he becomes alarmed, he becomes worried. He begins to wonder, my God, this antra being provided with so many different facilities, and they're actually very dangerous, because they may allure me to this material enjoyment and keep me attached to this material nature. Therefore, the king used to be very alarmed, very worried that they do not develop their unnecessary material attachment, which is actually an impediment to a spiritual progress. That's why the kings always would sit at the feet of the brahmanas and would take constant guidance from them. Am I acting in a proper way? Am I doing the right thing? And thus, with the sanctions of the brahmanas, with the sanctions of the spiritual master, they would act. They would constantly want to inquire, should I do this or should I not do this? And this is how we must behave in this material nature. We should never think that we know everything. We should always be open to the Brahma, to the sadhu, to the more advanced devotee. And we must inquire from him, am I doing the right thing? Please. And when we get the approval of the Brahmana or the Vaishnava, then we know that we are doing the right thing. And we are open to their chastisement. Whenever you do something wrong, he says, no, you shouldn't do that. And we learn on that, oh, it's okay, I made a mistake. From now on, I'll not make the same mistake. So this is how one can lead a very safe life in this material nature and progress towards the spiritual sky. And India was a country where people used to cultivate this culture, sitting at the feet of the Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, one used to lead his life. And that's why the country was so prosperous. Actually, material nature provides us, just like in the prison house, we cannot demand. If we are a criminal, if I am a criminal put into the prison house, I cannot demand that you have to give me this, you have to give me that. The more we demand, the more the prison authorities will punish us. He says, oh, okay, you want more facilities? Come. He gives us a whack. So this is how one is treated in a prison house. So we must understand in the material nature also, we are being treated like that. The more we demand from the material nature, the more the material nature punishes us. Because that demanding tendency is the perverted, is the perversion in us. And the business of this material nature is to rectify our perverted consciousness. Therefore, when we become submissive, then everything comes to us. As soon as we become submissive to the king, then the prison authorities see that, notice that, and then say, okay, this man is doing well, so let us give him, so that his faith becomes stronger. That if he follows, if he keeps on going, if he keeps going on this in this way, then he will make advancement, he will benefit. So more you become Krishna conscious, more you become submissive to the Supreme King Krishna, the more facilities the material nature provides for us. But the more we demand, like we are seeing, India is actually a perfect example for that. All over India, practically, people are striking. And they're demanding. You have to give me money, you have to give me these facilities and so on and so forth. The more they're demanding, the more they're ending up becoming more and more miserable. Especially we can see in Bengal, every other day there is a protest rally. And their thing is, their demand is, give me this, give me that, otherwise we won't work. We will strike. But more they're shouting, give me this, give me that, the more miserable they're becoming. It is so obvious, it's so apparent. Like practically in front of my eyes, I have seen how miserable the situation has become in Bengal. And that is the result of communism, that's the result of atheism. But in the early days, when India was Krishna conscious, everything was so easily available. And we are seeing also, although International Society for Krishna Consciousness is establishing, inspiring people to practice Krishna consciousness, even in a country like India, or even in very, very poor countries, it's flourishing so much. Although people do not have to work like, although the members of the society do not have to work like a bunch of dogs and asses, but still everything is provided for. Things are coming to them as a gift of the nature. So Lakshmi Devi provides when one becomes engaged in the service of Narayana, Krishna. And from this we can understand that actually when we become Krishna conscious, we don't have to worry about anything. Prabhupada gave us that assurance time and time again. Don't worry about anything. Just chant Hare Krishna and just preach Krishna consciousness to others. And everything will be provided with. And we are seeing, the more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we try to spread Krishna consciousness, the more facilities come to us. And the materialistic people become more and more envious. They say, this Hare Krishna, they're just a bunch of lazy people, they don't work, they don't do anything. But they're driving in big cars, they're living in big houses, and see how nice and fat and prosperous they look. But actually, they don't realize that this prosperity comes as a result of one's Krishna consciousness. Prosperity means Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi is the wife of Krishna, Narayana. So whenever somebody is engaged in the service of Krishna, then Lakshmi Devi is offer everything to them. Lakshmi Shahasra Shata Samrama Sevamana. And the thousands upon thousands of Lakshmi are constantly engaged in serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore those who are engaged in serving the lotus feet of Krishna are also favored by Lakshmi Devi. So we must have this conviction that we are serving Krishna and Krishna will provide us with everything. Lakshmi Devi will provide us with everything. We don't have to beg for these facilities to them. It will come automatically. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, following the four devotees principles in the association of devotees. And then everything will be provided with. And this Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world. And if we try to spread Krishna consciousness with a spirit of cooperation and unity, with love and trust among ourselves, then very soon we'll see that Krishna consciousness has spread all over the world. Krishna consciousness has become the religion of this world. And the world will, then this world will become like Vaikuntha. The king will rule the country, the king will rule over this earth planet under the guidance of the devotees, Krishna conscious devotees, and the devotees will be propagating, spreading the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a result of that, the Vedic culture will be established. And when the Vedic culture is established, then the earth planet virtually turns into Vaikuntha. And it will be so wonderful. Therefore, we have to give up all our Anna Abhilash, all our other desires. Besides our service to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, we should not have any other intentions or motives. No desire for self-gratification, no desire for politics. Actually, all these stem from self-gratification. Prabhupada once defined politics as a dubious arrangement for sense gratification. We start to do politics, that means we start to make, when we try to make some arrangements for our sense gratification. But if we are simply concerned about serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the devotees in ISKCON, then automatically we will become free from any other desire. And then everything will become so joyful, and the people who will come in contact with us will become immediately influenced by us, and they will very readily accept Krishna consciousness. They will say, these people are the most wonderful people in the world. Let me also become like them. Let me also take advantage of their association. And this is how Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world, which has been predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and which has been established by Srila Prabhupada through a practical demonstration. And now if we just follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, if we just become an integral part of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then we also will benefit and make others when they take advantage of this process. Hare Krishna, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Any question? Yes. Right. Yeah, devotees may have some difficulties, but those difficulties never become overpowering. Because devotees are always provided with whatever they need. For example, Prabhupada, apparently Prabhupada was going through financial difficulties, but Prabhupada never really gone through any hardship as such. Like we can see, actually Prabhupada used to say also that when he used to go to Gaudiya Math and see the Brahmacharya, he used to think that I'll never be able to live like them. Because their life is so difficult, so hard. And Prabhupada said Krishna always took care of him. Like we can see when Prabhupada went to Vrindavan, he got this place in Chipiwala, in that temple, I forgot the name of the temple, near Keshidhar. In Delhi also Prabhupada had a place, in Chipiwala, Gandhi. Prabhupada had people supporting him financially to print the books. Prabhupada didn't care for his maintenance. His main concern was books. And you can see, as soon as Prabhupada was ready with the books, the facilities came, the books were printed. And soon after the books were printed, Prabhupada got the facility to go to the West. Right? He got a free ticket, right? To the West. And when Prabhupada went to the West, now although there were some difficulties, but we can see, although Prabhupada went to the West without any support, but that Agarwal was there, he stayed in his house, then this Mayavadi Sannyasi was there, who housed him for some time. Then devotees came, his young friends came forward to help him out. So Prabhupada was always taken care of. And actually once I was kind of lamenting to Srila Prabhupada. It was in Vrindavan in the middle of the night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada couldn't sleep those days. And Prabhupada was sitting up on his bed and I was massaging him. I was massaging his back. He was just sitting like this and I was massaging. And all of a sudden I felt a tremendous emotion. And I felt that now when Prabhupada has so many servants, so many disciples who are dying to serve him, I'm just getting a chance to serve him. Actually, when Prabhupada doesn't really need my service, I got the opportunity to serve him. So where was I when Prabhupada was going through the difficulties in the early days and there was no one to help him? Why couldn't I come and help Prabhupada at that time? And I just told that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, why didn't I come when you are alone? And Prabhupada just, it seemed like Prabhupada just slapped me on my face. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. And the Krishna was always with me. And I just felt that, Prabhupada just slapped me on my face. I realized that I didn't recognize Prabhupada's position. And Prabhupada was always, Krishna was always with Prabhupada. And Krishna was always Prabhupada taking care of him. And who am I to ever think that, I could ever help him? So, apparently, Prabhupada had to go through those so-called hardships. It's just Prabhupada's pastime to teach us, don't give up when there are obstructions. Don't give up when you stumble. Keep on. Apparent hardships will come. That's actually Krishna's mercy. This tastes of Krishna's mercy. And just as a teacher mercifully takes the examination to actually promote the student to a higher class. Similarly, Krishna puts us through difficulties this day. But a good student is not afraid of the exam. For him, it is actually an opportunity to make advancement. So that's how a devotee accepts the hardship with with full determination and conviction. And Prabhupada, actually through his own example, taught us that. Any question? Yes. See, our mind always needs to be guided. You see, the mind can either be guided by our senses, or the mind can be guided by the Vaishnavas, who actually dictate the words of Krishna. Vaishnavas simply instruct according to the scriptures. So, you see, if we allow our mind to be guided by our senses, then it is self gratification. But if we allow our mind to be guided by the Vaishnavas, by the spiritual master, then it is devotional service. Now, devotional service is real, whereas material enjoyment, self gratification, is illusory. Right? So when we allow our minds to be guided by our senses, we end up becoming even more miserable. Right? We are hankering for joy, but we end up in misery. But when we allow ourselves to be guided by the Vaishnavas, then we experience the real bliss. Which is very apparent. Like when we see the materialistic people struggling so hard for sense gratification, look at their faces. Their face looks so miserable. But look at a devotee. He looks so joyful. That impression is there in his face. From the face you can make out who is actually enjoying and who is suffering. And it's obvious that those who are following the instructions of the spiritual master, those who are following the instructions of the Vaishnavas, they are really enjoying. Whereas those who are actually trying to enjoy in the material nature, they are suffering. Any other questions? Okay, then I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.